Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, Curious Conversations with Ms. Handy. I'm so pleased to begin a new pattern of inquiry that involves an up-close and personal conversation with special guests around the globe who actively use human systems dynamics to transform the patterns in their world. That new pattern of inquiry begins with our special guest right now. I'm delighted to introduce a curious conversation with Nora Murphy Johnson. Nora is founder and president of Inspire to Change, which helps changemakers center inquiry and well-being in their work toward whole, beautiful, and liberated realities through online coaching, community, and consulting. Nora's going to give us some insight about her journey into, through, and with human systems dynamics. And you can learn more about Nora by reading her bio in our show notes. Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, Nora.
Thank you so much. I am really delighted to be here.
And I'm thrilled to have you here as one of our special guests. And I have just a few questions for you, but I want to start with my curiosity about what led you to HSD and what, if anything, were you looking for at that time?
Sometimes I think that serendipity or divine intervention happens in my life. So I'm not sure that I was looking for HSD so much as it found me, or it was a moment in time where it came into my awareness, maybe. So I was in a PhD program at the University of Minnesota, and I was working towards a PhD in evaluation studies. So I have my master's degree in research methods. I did some work in as a researcher and evaluator, and really felt like I was not doing research and evaluation that was in alignment with my values. So while I was at the University of Minnesota working on my PhD, there were times where I would say to my professors, I really know who I want to be and who I want to become, and I would like to swap out some of the books on the curriculum with something that supports the path that I'm on. And so the adaptive action book that Glenda and Royce wrote came out at the same time I was getting my PhD, and I slid it into one of my syllabi. And I had heard of them because I'm based in Minnesota, as are they. So there have been times that I've been at an event where Glenda was speaking, and what she said really resonated with me. And I worked on a project with someone who really looks up to Royce as a mentor and a friend. And so I thought, I don't know what this book says, but I know I want to read it. So at the same time, my mentor, Michael Quinn Patton, wrote a book called Developmental Evaluation, which is how do you evaluate when you're working in complexity? So most evaluation assumes that you have a plan, you execute the plan, and then you determine to what extent you fulfilled that plan and what value did that add. If we're working towards something like a liberated reality, most of us have never experienced that, maybe even for a minute. And so if we don't know where we're going, we certainly don't have the right plan to get there. So it really attracted me, this idea of like, and resonating with my values, that I'm working towards things that are hard and messy and complex, and we're going to go backwards and sideways and up and down, as well as forward. So I need this developmental evaluation approach that's going to help me evaluate in that way. What HSD offered me, because I read this book at the same time as this new developmental evaluation book, what HSD offered me was a way to understand how people work. So evaluation's about the learning, but I can't track learning if I can't anticipate at all how people might behave. So when I got to the parts in the book about self-organizing and attractors and looking for the patterns that people may or may not recognize that shape the way they're acting and interacting, I just thought, this is brilliant. I have so much greater understanding of how I can use evaluation to support change because I understand how people change rather than just trying to measure it from a distance. So it was beautiful. Those two books were pivotal in my a career pivot for me.
Well, you said something that really is interesting me even more. So you talked about alignment, and then as I talked about what Inspired to Change does, the liberated reality. So kind of share with us, what does alignment with a liberated reality look like or feel like for you?
Oh, that's such a good question. I've come to this in a lot of ways. The people listening can't see me, but I'm a white woman and I was raised in New Hampshire. And so I had a lot of privilege and quite a lack of awareness of my whiteness. My husband is African-American and our kids are mixed. And so I see what it's like for them to move through the world. And my husband is also a novelist. And at one point he said, I have tried to write a book where racism doesn't exist. And I can't, because I can't even imagine it. And so we spent a lot of time talking about the power of creativity and imagination. And I actually went to a workshop recently where someone said, why do we tell kids to stop playing when make-believe is actually imagining a world and then acting your way into it? So this idea of like play and imagination and creativity, that's so necessary, because the life that I want to support, or the world I want to support, has not existed in any of our lifetimes. And so we do need that creativity. We do need imagination. We do need spaces to play into that and figure out, like, this relationship works, this didn't, I messed up, I'm sorry, I need to try it differently next time. So I don't exactly know what a liberated reality is. I do know in a lot of the contexts that I've worked in where there's things like, what if I didn't have to look over my back? What if people assumed innocence for me? What if I could just breathe freely and I felt like there was no weight on my chest or on my body? And so I'm not trying to exactly define liberation for anyone, but to be on the path where someone says, I feel a freedom in me or around me that I haven't felt before.
Well, that's that I can definitely understand in the way that you describe it. So thank you for clarifying that. And as you talk about playing with HSD, now that you've played with it, so what have you learned and how are you using it?
I think as a tool, just what, so what, now what is incredible. I say it has like a simple elegance. It sounds so simple, and yet if you use it skillfully at different levels of the fractal or different levels of the system, I can take people through what, so what, now what in a 5-minute conversation, in a 5-hour facilitation, in a 5-month project together. And what is I find so valuable about it is that people always want to skip through the what. They say, we don't have time for that. And I say, you hired me because you trust me, I presume. So if you trust me, trust that we need to spend at least a third of our time and probably more on the what. And so I find that I'll work with places who have something like a mission statement, like supporting whole, beautiful, and liberated realities. And they've never taken the time to understand what each of those words means. They don't know how they came to it. They don't know how they'll recognize it when they achieve it. And I think, gosh, if we don't build that history and that shared knowledge, the so what and the now what are just being built on, you know, fragmented and fragile ground. So the framework allows me to hold space for the what, which often surfaces issues or misunderstandings or disconnects that would have caused problems later if we hadn't taken the time to get to them in the beginning. And because it's the what, we're getting to them in a way that isn't terribly emotional. I mean, of course, emotions come up, but we're not trying to make sense of it yet. We're just trying to say, this is what I did, or this is what I remember. This is what I, so that what, so what, now what is really powerful to me. But the second piece, and this really came with the idea that people will self-organize around strange attractors, is I realize it's all about energy. And I was just talking with a client this morning and they said, I learned that too. She said, we could do like, you know, dot voting and something will say, everyone agrees that this is something we should do, but no one has energy for it. It's not gonna get done. There could be something that has just a third of the votes, but really excites people. That's going to get done, or has a greater potential to get done. And so in our name for our company, Inspire to Change, To me, what inspire means is it's that energy that keeps us going. Because if you're working towards liberation or justice or equity in those spaces, you're going to fail more often than you succeed. And what keeps you going? You know, what keeps you going more than I have to, but what keeps you going with any health or any vitality or any joy, right? So that's what the word inspire to me harkens to the idea that it's all about energy, and the idea of strange attractors and self-organizing is, I'd say, up there with what, so now what, with being the most useful thing I've taken away from HSD.
I really appreciate you talking about energy, because our listeners will recognize that that word energy has come up more than one time in our curious conversations. And it is very important. Energy is contagious, and it's so important for it to be present. And the last thing I want to share as I listen to you talk about all of this in an energetic way is, now what advice would you give to the HSD community and really to the world of human beings who haven't yet experienced HSD?
So before we started recording, I told you that we changed our mission, and our mission used to be that we supported purpose-driven change makers. What we say now is that we support change makers in centering inquiry and well-being in their work. And the reason that we added that, one, inquiry is, we have to learn to move forward in any way that's wise. But the well-being piece is, I realized literally the only thing we have to give is our life energy. I have time, yes, but I can give my time in a way that helps me restore energy or drains energy. And if I don't choose a good balance, I end up burnt out, cynical, angry, frustrated, and everyone around me suffers. So I think, I'm not surprised, and I'm delighted to hear that energy has come up a couple times, because I think we should be paying as much attention to that as our calendar and the money that changes hand and all that. It's like we are in an energy exchange when we're doing this work. And so to actually make that tangible and put it at the heart of the work and how we're attending to our well-being by attending to our energy is one thing that I would recommend people to do. And then second, if you have not done HSD before, they offer so many tools and free opportunities and ways to engage. And I have never shown up at anything and thought, oh, that didn't have value for me. So I would say just find the place that feels right to start and go for it. They'll welcome you with open arms.
Nora, I really appreciate you taking time out to share your journey with us. And I wish you well in your new company, because it's only 3 years old, as you mentioned. Right. I'm happy that HSD is helping you to change lives and help us to realize that nothing truly is intractable. So thank you so much for being here. It has been a pleasure of mine to have you on the podcast.
Mine as well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm so grateful that you've joined us for our new pattern of curious conversations with Miss Handy. Be sure to tune in next time when we'll talk to another one of our special guests from around the globe about their unique HSD, what, so what, and now what experience. Until then, continue using adaptive action to discover all of the patterns and possibilities that exist in your world.